Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. Hey, you try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart. So beat the drum with me. I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
My son, I'd pardon him too. But here's what I didn't like. Don't lie to us. Don't tell us you're not going to do it and then do it. That's not what a president should be like. You know, if you're going to do it, which he should have at the end of the day when somebody asked him that, I'll make that decision later. But don't lie to the American people, because it's not upholding to the president of the United States.
Very interesting comments yesterday by Tommy Tuberville talking about the reversal pardon by President Joe Biden of his son, not just for the things that he is currently was facing sentencing for, but also for anything he might have done over the last decade. And it's kind of interesting because Tommy Tuberville kind of simultaneously got exactly what I was saying yesterday, but also definitely I disagree with him about one thing. I would have pardoned it if it had been my own son. You need to explain that more. This was actually one of the more troubling parts of the pardon by President Biden, is saying, I hope you'll understand that, you know, anybody would pardon their own son. No, actually, no. There's actually this old dialogue. I mean, like Plato wrote a dialogue about the idea of a son turning in his father for violating the law. Is that just or is that not just? I mean, there's a very old conversation about the rule of law, that it's supposed to be for everybody, including the people that you know and care about and love, right? In fact, the whole idea of the rule of law is that everybody's treated equally under it. And in our system, for example, if, you know, your son were to go on trial for something, or your father were to go on trial for something, you're not allowed to be on the jury, right? Why? They don't want you being a juror for your family. Because obviously we don't expect people to behave properly and impartially with regard to their own relatives. The whole idea is to safeguard us from that problem. That's a problem when the law is based on who you know or who you're related to. And so when Biden says, you know, hey, I hope you understand anybody would do this if it were their son, and Tommy Tuberville says, I would do it if it were my son, that's why you recuse yourself from things. That's exactly why the judge can't rule on the family cases or the enemy's cases, you know, the people that they hate. Too much bias. That's the problem. So, yeah, you're cutting him a pass for exactly the wrong thing. That doesn't excuse the action. That's actually an indictment of the action. What would excuse the action is if you believe that the Department of Justice had done something wrong, or if Hunter Biden were being politically persecuted, which is what I said yesterday. I think you can absolutely make that case. So I think Tuberville got this right. No, the part about, you know, not going back on your word. Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's also a problem.
It won't be the last pardon. I'm sure there will be a lot of other family members down the line who will get a pardon closer to the inauguration. But this has been a tough time for our country. Having a family like this involved in all things they've been involved in, I'm not going to prosecute and put guilt on anybody right now. But I think in the future, the things I've seen, you're going to see a lot of things come out that's going to be very unbecoming to this administration.
And, of course, less of those or fewer of those things are going to come out now that you can't investigate Hunter Biden. But that's what a lot of people, honestly, I don't know whether to expect that or not. Only because, I mean, that would be a complete admission of guilt. If he starts pardoning his own family for things that aren't even charges, that's just, I mean, it would be an absolute moral implosion of this presidency. All the people who have said that Biden is the honest, upright, right, sincerely devout Catholic to morals, right? If that happens, and it has not happened yet, okay? This does not prove that. I'm saying if that does happen, he's giving away everything he's built over his whole career. Everything he's said he is and everything everybody has said about him over his whole career. So honestly, I'm hoping that does not happen. Also, I think it's probably unlikely to happen. But, I mean, if Tuberville is right, I mean, we will see, I suppose. Oh, did you hear the other comment that came out yesterday? No, not the Corinne Jean-Pierre. It's her job to lie for the president. I mean, it's preferable if the press secretary tells the truth, but it's her job to maintain the party line. She has to come out and say everything. The job of the press secretary is to be the president when the president can't be there and to speak clearly when the president can't speak. Anyway, it's literally her job to say the president's ideas in better words than they would say when they can't be there. That's the idea. So I don't really blame her for holding the same line. It's not like she was going to get up and say, yeah, we were all totally blindsided by this. He totally broke his word. The president's an utter hypocrite and a liar. Duh, stop asking me. Of course. I mean, like, it's not going to happen. You're living in a fantasy. That's literally not her job. Now, if she wanted to resign and then say, oh, yeah, this is horrible. Well, I mean, you know, that's an avenue available to people. It's, I think, a coin flip which of those choices would better preserve her future job prospects. Because on the one hand, you get hired to be press secretary by being super loyal. On the other hand, you get a little bit of respect if you admit that, oh, no, this is terrible, and you quit. So probably doing what she's doing is the most likely to preserve her political future. Anyway, Jill Biden yesterday at a military appreciation event for Christmas at the White House where they had a lot of kids there. So you can hear a lot of kind of kid noises in the background.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Dr. Biden, do you support the pardon of Hunter?
Oh. It's the Yeller question, and then somebody else muffly. The band plays. And she says, of course, I support the pardon for my son. You cannot hear it because of the music and the mic and everything else, but she says, of course, I support the pardon for my son. Well, I would say, I mean, of course you support the memo that you wrote. Just, you know, it's like Corinne Jean-Pierre arguing about how the president says he has total faith in the FBI and the Department of Justice. Department of Justice, I think. I don't know if she said FBI. Yeah, because that was in the memo you helped write. I mean, I figured he didn't write. You know, the president's way of expressing himself. He didn't write that memo. 437-1620. Oh, John, you're a big technology advocate.
Yes, sir.
Did you spend your couple hundred bucks at Cyber Monday yesterday?
Actually, I was very good and didn't do it.
No, wait a minute.
I'm just being
honest. I'm not challenging your change of heart. I'm challenging, don't say you were good if you believe in it. Say you just didn't find any good deals.
Or I didn't.
You felt guilty about it.
I didn't find any good deals.
There you go. That doesn't mean you're good. I mean, good is spending money appropriately. Sometimes spending money is good. Sometimes not spending money is good. Right? So you were.
I looked around.
There you go.
But I didn't find anything.
How much time did you spend looking? I'm just curious. Because, of course, I spent zero time looking.
45 minutes to an hour.
Okay. All right. That seems like a reasonable amount of time to me.
Yeah,
it wasn't 4 hours.
No.
I actually almost started looking at, I forget, it might have been Best Buy or something. I thought, oh, you should look just to play along like you're part of the culture, Andrew. And then I didn't. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I'd rather sleep a little bit longer. But since you're an advocate of technology in general, what do you think of the Coca-Cola AI ad? You see it?
Yes. It's interesting.
So Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. with all these classic ads, the polar bears, of course, iconic, the trains and just happy times. And Coca-Cola does the Christmas advertising that sort of feels a lot like what Budweiser does at the Super Bowl in their best versions, except that they're Christmas oriented.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of just makes you feel good and makes y'all weepy inside and gives y'all the feels. I thought it was weak, but it wasn't as awful as people are saying.
Exactly.
People are saying this is the worst thing that has ever happened. It's the end of the universe that Coca-Cola is using AI. No, it's just meh. You know, it's the movements don't quite look right. Somebody said the body parts don't look right. That's typical for AI. You know, it'll give you seven fingers or whatever. But it, I just felt more. I wish the headline hadn't told me it was AI, and then I could just watch it, see the new Christmas ad from Coca-Cola that's causing controversy, and then oh okay, and then watch the ad and be like, well, that looked good, or it did look weird. I would be curious to know my clear reaction if I hadn't known in advance. Because watching it, knowing, you're like, ah, this is terrible. But you don't. Would you see it that way? So they're, you know.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
And the criticism now is, this cracks me up. This like might make transgressors. We'll see. But the criticism is, one, how dare you not hire actors? That's seriously, that's one of the. You could have hired actors. Number two, you ready for this? The criticism of the Coca-Cola 15-second AI ad is you didn't hire actors and you're killing the planet.
How?
AI is heavy on computing.
Oh.
And computing drains resources and produces carbon dioxide, therefore, and heat at the server farms.
Right.
So creating a 15-second AI-based ad is ungreen. Is the kind of thing a climate denier would do, you know.
They have way too much time on their hands. Oh, my gosh, to think about that.
It's what's the biblical expression? You know, you tithe mint and cumin and neglect the weightier matters of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
You tithe carbon dioxide and kilowatts and neglect the weightier matters of ethics. It's amazing. It really is.
But they said actors, normally in their Christmas commercials, it's polar bears.
Yeah, it's normally animators, I guess. The guys in the, or gals, in the green screen and the weird electric suits with the little sensors all over them. I don't know. Either way. 521 on.
But it also just shows in the infancy of this AI, you know. Go for it. Go for it. You got to now.
Okay, so. This is the way my brain works. I can't believe I'm going to ask this question on the air. So I was thinking about actors portraying, you know, wearing like the Matrix suits or whatever, mm-hmm. where that, you know, they have the sensors all over it's a black suit and the white dots is kind of what you think of it being. And they move and then they put an animation shell laid over that.
Kind of like Madden.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they do with Madden.
Yeah, whatever their movements are, it's, you know, it's you add to it with this exterior shell. And I was thinking about the polar bears and the, like, body actors doing the polar bears, and the thought that occurred to me is, well, do you think that the actors are plump?
Is that where your mind went?
Yes. Well, you said the actors playing the polar bears, and I'm thinking, actors playing polar bears, I wonder if we have the right body style for that. Because follow me down my crazy, politically incorrect rabbit trail. If we hire skinny actors to play plump polar bears,
mm-hmm.
now you're discriminating against plump actors who could have had roles.
That's right.
It's the way, you know, you don't hire Tom Hanks to play a mentally impaired person for a big blockbuster movie because he's normal. Oh, you don't even say normal. You know, he's aligned or I don't know what even the words are these days. It's so funny. I'm joking. I mean, I'm being serious, but I don't really care what the words are. But you know, you should have hired somebody who actually had a disability.
Right.
So of course you're not supposed to say that either. Right. And alternate ability, because otherwise you're taking jobs away from people. You know, it's like, you know, if you like when Hugh Grant was the Oompa Loompa in the new Willy Wonka movie.
Oh yeah.
You're taking a job away from a A mini person.
A small person. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I was trying to get it
See?
Right, too.
So what started off is I was almost uncomfortable to ask, did we not hire the plump actor to be the body portrayal of the polar bear in the Coca-Cola ads? But then I start thinking about it on behalf of the plump actors, and you know the Plump Actors Guild is going to sue you.
That's right.
For hiring skinny actors. There's a lot of stuff to think through on a Tuesday morning.
And it's early, son.
5:24 on News Radio 92.3. I still am Andrew McKay.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for use ages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Contemplate this on the Tree of Woe. Crucify him.
Good morning, 5:27 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Did you ever see DC Talk in concert? You ever seen him in concert?
Like a long time ago.
Yeah, same. Yeah. A couple times back when we lived in the Midwest. And, you know, Third Day and Toby Mac.
Oh, yeah.
And, just fun concerts. A lot of the, like the Christian Palooza kind of concerts where there was, you know, like 10 bands over the course of a day or two. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President-elect Trump telling Hamas to release the October 7th hostages. He said those responsible will be, quote, hit harder than anybody has been hit in the history of the United States. He's warning Hamas to release those hostages before he takes office January 20th.
You know, it's kind of interesting that it came out after this, but did you happen to catch what Ted Cruz had said about that on that Face the Nation interview? He made the comparison with Reagan when Reagan took over, that it was the day he took office, right? That I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was the day he took office in 81 is when Iran released the hostages. And he said, I expect something like that. So,
yeah.
Interesting. We'll see. Yeah, we'll definitely see.
A Houston company that underwent a scandalous collapse is attempting a comeback. Enron, they declared bankruptcy 23 years ago Monday, throwing more than 25,000 people out of work. Well, on Monday, Enron launched a new media blitz. They put a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle, put up billboards and a promotional video. Apparently, they've got a new website up that offers merchandise and career opportunities. So if you want to go work with Enron.
Come on. It's not April 1st. Come on. Enron has been around?
Apparently. I don't.
Stop it. I press X to doubt. Buy merchandise with Enron on it?
Well, let's see here. Where's it at?
This can't be website? Real. I say this can't be real.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to get a t-shirt.
Okay, look, I'm going to vote this is satire and somebody copied it as news. That's not you, but somebody somewhere didn't realize this was a satire article and copied this as news. It cannot be true. I can't.
Yeah, it's on like four different Houston websites here. Let's
okay.
See. Enron launched its website. Enron.com. It's loading. It's got the Enron logo. Let's talk.
Does it come with cocaine and hookers? I mean, is that included in the website?
It's got a countdown timer.
You remember all the stuff about Enron?
2 hours, 29 minutes, 34 seconds.
Gets boring.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The first overseas trip for President-elect Trump this week, and he flies to Paris for the opening of the famed Notre Dame Cathedral that will reopen after being destroyed by a fire.
About 50 world leaders are expected to attend the invite-only ceremonies this weekend. Trump says, quote, President Emmanuel Macron has done a wonderful job ensuring that Notre Dame has been restored to its full level of glory, and even more so, it will be a very special day for all.
Fox's Brooke Singman, President Biden in Angola, but the first visit to that nation by a sitting U.S. president, overshadowed by his pardon of his son, Hunter.
Let's be very clear. Hunter Biden avoided paying taxes with money that he earned, quote unquote, because of his dad's involvement at the top of our politics. It was the essence of pay to play.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds on Fox's Kudlow. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we do have a bit of a chilly start this morning, 36 degrees and clear skies here in Pensacola. Another motorcycle fatality was reported in Escambia County yesterday. It happened in a multiple car collision on Highway 29 and Tate School Road. The motorcyclist crashed into an SUV, which then hit a sedan at a stop sign. The rider died at the scene of that crash. Escambia County deputies made two drug trafficking arrests after responding to a shots fired call last week. Deputies say they responded to the incident on North W and Maxwell Streets last Friday. It all began, they say, with an argument that led to one man threatening to shoot up another man's house. That man then allegedly fired a gunshot into the air while driving past the home. Deputies located the suspect's vehicle near the New Warrington Spur. During a search of that vehicle, deputies say they found stolen firearms, ammunition, trafficking amounts of methamphetamine and fentanyl, cocaine, and other drugs. 46-year-old Josh DeMoss and 35-year-old Ashley Ann Workman were arrested. They both remain in jail on multiple charges. A University of West Florida professor getting some help in his search for more information on Alzheimer's. UWF announced yesterday that biology professor Dr. Rodney Gutman was awarded a grant from the National Institute of Health. The school says this will allow Gutman and his students to continue cutting-edge research into blood-based biomarkers for the early diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Gutman hopes his research will lead to earlier and more accurate diagnoses that could lead to better patient outcomes. Well, many area farmers are losing big on investments into coastal growers, a peanut processing facility in Atmore. It started a few years ago as a co-op. It was funded by farmers in Alabama and Florida.
So the problem started about probably a year and a half after this thing began. We started having questions like, this isn't the money isn't flowing like it was said to be flowing. And then it was just, oh, it's just a startup thing. Anyway, long story short, farmers have lost millions of dollars.
That's Ryan Jenkins from Jenkins Farms. Coastal Growers has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Reportedly, they owe between $100 and $500 million to creditors and have about $100 million or less in assets. Jenkins says this is putting many farmers in a terrible financial position at a time when they just don't have much left to lose. Well, now that chilly weather has moved into the area, Escambia Fire Rescue encouraging everybody to practice space heater safety and know the potential risks associated with small home space heaters. According to the National Fire Protection Association, heating equipment is one of the leading causes of home fire deaths. Space heaters account for about 4 out of 5 home heating fire deaths. If you need a free smoke detector, you can call 850-595-HERO. A vote today could bring an end to the legal battle between a woman and the city of Fort Lauderdale. Latoya Ratliff sued the city after being shot by a rubber bullet fired by a police officer 4 years ago. Ratliff was in a crowd protesting George Floyd's death at the time. Officers were firing rubber bullets and tear gas to break up the protest. One of those rubber bullets broke Ratliff's eye socket. She sued the city last year to cover her medical bills, lost wages, and emotional distress. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we do have clear skies, 43 degrees in Pensacola, 43 in Gulf Breeze. It's 35 in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, the holiday shopping season unofficially begins today as it's Black Friday. Tomorrow is...
Seems like our pre-market report there is a bit outdated, so we'll get that next hour. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing holiday hours, Atlas Beverage Class, fall and winter menus at Jackson's Steakhouse and Angelina's. Deck the halls at Jackson's, New Year's Eve, and celebrate 12th night at Jackson's Great Southern Restaurant Week.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and as I light my Hanukkah menorah, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. Also, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, from all of us at News Radio 92.3.
Hey, everybody, this is Austin Price, co-host of Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7, wanting to wish you both a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year on behalf of News Radio 92.3.
Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo!
Well, yesterday we had a chance to talk to our good friend Ryan Jenkins, our monthly update, first Monday of the month, talk about farming with the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the show. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving day or two after the fact.
Happy Thanksgiving to do. How are y'all doing?
Good. And Merry Christmas in advance, I suppose, because we won't talk to you until the first of the year.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. We won't talk again before that, will we?
I was just thinking about you yesterday as we were out riding our bikes, and which we would, you know, do on the weekend and even in the cold. And we're riding past a field over in Foley that hadn't picked its cotton yet. And I thought, oh, Ryan, you know, always whenever I see farmland, it always makes me think of you. But you're done, right? You got all your main crops picked already?
Thank God in heaven we are done. You know, usually this is a Christmas time thing, kind of when we finish up our cotton. But we finished our cotton before our peanuts this year for the first time since I've been farming my whole life. It's just kind of the way it worked out. But we're through with all of our stuff at Jenkins Farms as far as harvesting. We're still doing some custom work, some custom soybean harvest for some other farmers in the area. But thank goodness for a great, safe harvest season. And now we're on to planting our cover crops, and we'll be through for the year.
Did you finish early because you had done more peanuts this year because of how bad it was last year, or is it just kind of worked out the way it worked out?
It just a lot of it was weather and timing of when the crops came off. You know, you always try to plan that when you're planting in the spring, but weather changes throughout the year, and you never know what kind of weather year you're going to have, and it was just a cotton got ready early. Cotton was ready 2 or 3 weeks early. Peanuts were ready 2 or 3 weeks late. So there's a big overlap, and I was able to pick a whole lot of cotton while the other guys were picking peanuts. So it just kind of worked out that way. And yes, some of it is. We had a whole lot more peanut acres this year than we typically have.
I did want to add, I know when you go into the winter, winter is obviously your down month, although you don't really get to be down. You still have to plan and strategize, and you have meetings, and you have, you know, legislative session comes up, and who knows what's going to happen with that. But are you at least, you sound like you're breathing a little bit easier, like you're relieved a little bit compared to where you were or for the last couple of months. Is that fair?
It's fair. You know, this is the month where we have to renew our operating loans for the next year, and it's always a stressful time because literally the bank could say, I'm not comfortable with this, and it would put us out of business. So, you know, that's a very stressful time getting all your ducks in a row to go present your case to the bank. But I do feel better that we had a good crop and a good harvest season. Prices are still terrible. You know, in a year like this, in the past, when prices were good, we'd be putting some money in the bank. But this year, we're still scratching, just trying to break even with basically real good crops in our area.
Gotcha. There was a story that I wanted to talk about with you. I hate to have to talk about it with you, but I know this is a big deal. You were in the beginning, because I remember you and I talked about this a lot, is the Coastal Growers operation, which was meant to be kind of a, as I recall, a co-op where the peanut farmers would process their own peanuts, come together and work together and kind of, you know, save some of the costs and feel like they weren't at mercy of the peanut processing facility that they didn't own. But now Coastal has filed bankruptcy, $100 to $500 million at the 199 creditors, according to NorthEscambia.com. Estimated assets of $50 to $100 million in this massive facility that, you know. Okay, so I know, you know, there might be things you can and cannot say. I get that. But this seems really bad. What happened?
It has been terrible. Honestly, for the farmers, it has put a lot of really good farmers in a really bad financial position. If I had the answers, I would certainly love to tell you. I beg for the answers. We saw probably, you know, basically this idea, some people got together and came in and sold this to us. There was about 100, and I think you even said there was 190-something farmers that invested money in this thing. And basically you were getting the middleman out. You know, we harvest our peanuts and they're still in the shell. Well, most of the places where you eat peanuts, you know, they have to be shelled. You don't want the shell.
Right.
So the shelling facility takes care of that project. And then they market those peanuts to all these people that need the peanuts out of the hole. So that's the middleman part, right? So we're taking him out and we're providing a service and we're just adding money to our crop. So it was sold to us in a really good way. You know, the estimates were this and that and everything looked really good. It looked like we were going to make a significant amount of money by doing this that we weren't able to capture doing it the old way. And then really, there still is no good answer to what happened. You know, there was a huge economic downturn during that time frame was one thing. There's just no good answer to why it didn't work like it was sold to us to work. And so some people were able to sell some of their shares and get out. But, of course, you know, by the time people realized there was a problem, it was hard to sell your shares because who wants to buy them if they see who wants to buy into something that's having problems? So the problem started about probably a year and a half after this thing began. We started having questions like, this isn't the money isn't flowing like it was said to be flowing. And then it was just, oh, it's just a startup thing. Anyway, long story short, farmers have lost millions of dollars there that they didn't have to lose really to begin with. You know, most farmers went and borrowed money to buy into this thing. And then they sold them their crop at a reduced price in the beginning with the intent of once they shell the peanuts and turn it into this final product, you're not only going to get what your neighbor got that wasn't in coastal growers, you're going to get a premium on top of that. So that was never realized, and it's really for our regional area here, the footprint of that thing, it is really, really putting a hurt on farmers. It's a terrible situation in many, many ways.
With this sort of implosion at Coastal Growers, I mean, is there an investigation? Is there litigation? Is there legal questions? I don't remember exactly. I remember you were an advocate for it, but were you you're not in it now. You're not on the board or anything like that. I mean, I know you I know you wouldn't be responsible for anything like that, but I mean, where does it stand today?
No, we were one of the lucky ones at the beginning that sold our shares. And got out at the beginning of 23, I believe it was.
Okay.
So we're out. I don't really know what's going on. You know, I knew they were in huge trouble, and there were rumors in the community they were trying to do this or trying to do that. But when that thing came out in North Escambia, I saw it too.
Yeah.
And I knew that was one of the options, but it was a surprise to me to actually see it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I knew that's one of the things that I had heard rumors that they were talking about, but I haven't had any contact with them in quite some time now. So I just hope that, you know, it's a terrible, terrible time financially in the agricultural community without something like that. I can't relate to you how bad that is, what's happening there, and how much money farmers have lost in a time they didn't have any money to lose to begin with.
Well, that's what it made me think of is, you know, you and I have talked so much, and last year was so bad. And on top of that, you just have all the, you know, increasing input costs and all of that stuff, and farmers are struggling all over the place. You know, even the good ones are really struggling, and everybody else may not even be getting that close. So if you're in that situation generally, and then something like this comes on top of it, it's catastrophe for,
correct.
You know, I'm thinking absolutely. Of families losing farms, losing businesses, people get depressed, taking their lives, like all the bad things you can imagine coming from something like this is what I'm thinking.
That is happening right here in your area. Yes.
Mm.
You're exactly right. That's a good overview of it.
Mm. Man, I just don't even know what to say. I know. I mean, like, it's just so discouraging, you know, because you guys were so optimistic about how this thing would work. Have you lost
Listen,
people? Have you lost people over this? Do you know people?
Have I lost people?
Like, have people? I mean, because we talk about farmers and depression and stuff all the time, but like,
not to my knowledge,
okay.
That hasn't happened.
Okay, because that's.
But let me tell you, there's a lot of depressed farmers.
Mm.
Because of this, for sure. I mean, I can't put it into words. You know how bad things are really right now in the agricultural community.
Well, we just got done talking about how it's a relief that you're past your harvest season, but man, it's just I don't.
Yeah, it is a very big relief, because if I'd have had any kind of major, not even major, just any kind of hiccup this year, we probably wouldn't be able to farm again next year. So, and I'm speaking for not necessarily Jenkins Farms. I'm talking about farmers in our area. That's where we're at. We're on the edge of the envelope. So we needed this. We needed this year to where maybe we could make it to next year. Maybe things financially would be better. Maybe the commodity prices would be better. Maybe we would get a strong farm deal that would help. You know, all those types of things. So I'm just thankful God has saw us through this year, has given us, you know, we planted the seed. He gave us the increase. We had a good, almost perfect harvest season. So very, 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 very thankful for all of it.
You know, you mentioned the farm bill. That's something that, you know, you had mentioned briefly last month when we talked about the election and the significance of who's in the White House and who's in Congress and what it means for a farm bill. What exactly does that mean? Because, you know, my picture of the farm bill is, you know, lots of financial assistance for farmers because, you know, we need farmers, right? And, you know, a lot of things historically with regards to price controls and subsidies that I'm not sure I agree with all the things historically that have been done, but just what does it mean to have or not have a farm bill?
Farm bill is huge, and most people think just the way I think you said. I think they think a farm bill is, all right, well, that's the subsidies we're going to pay farmers. Well, the farm bill happens every 5 years. They come up with a new farm bill, or they're supposed to. The one we're in now started in 2018, and it's been extended because they couldn't get all their ducks in a row. But it covers so many things. Now, the last one, which started in 2018, had a price tag of $428 billion. For the 5 years. So that's a lot of money. I get it. But things that it covers are commodities, you know, conservation, trade, nutrition, rural development, energy, crop insurance, and several other things. Those are the big ones. But what people don't get is the farm bill, almost 80% of it goes to nutrition, which is helping people that are in hard times, you know, with food stamp type things.
Oh, okay.
Programs. So almost 80% of it is for food and nutrition for the less fortunate. So when you look at it like that, like our part that would actually help Jenkins Farms is like the commodities part's about 7%, and the crop insurance part's almost 9%. So very little of it actually comes back to something that helps the, when you think of me as a farmer and what Jenkins Farms is, that actually helps us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because I think of it as the other, you know, more, like what, you know, what you said, that's what I think of as the majority of it. So very interesting. Ryan, we're just about totally out of time, but we always like to end with a quick farm fact of some kind. Do you have one for us this week?
I will. You know, every year I tell you about how much a Thanksgiving meal for 10 costs. American Farm Bureau does this every year. And, you know, I don't know where they shop at. I would like to find out, because they have some really good prices. But they came up with a Thanksgiving meal for 10, and they do the same thing every year, you know, whatever the products are needed for the meal. And they came up this year that the meal for 10 cost $58.08, and that's down 5% from last year. So I thought that was interesting. I always like to kind of see how we're doing on our Thanksgiving meals.
Always is. Very good. Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I know especially with this kind of breaking news story about Coastal Grower is a big deal, and you guys are still dealing with all the implications of that. So I appreciate you talking about it today to the extent that you could. Hey, man, as always, I appreciate you being on the show. I know our listeners love hearing from you. It breaks their heart to hear about bad things happening to farmers too, but keep up the work. Keep doing it. Keep being a man of faith. I super appreciate that about you. And keep putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food in their mouths, man. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and thank you for helping us get our story out there. I really appreciate it.
Most definitely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, when you get a realtor, what you want is somebody who's going to solve problems, avoid problems, get you through to closing, get you a good price on your home. Right? Get you multiple offers if that's possible, sell it quickly, and somebody's going to give you confidence that everything's going to go well. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty. They do this all the time. 175 homes sold last year, on track to be about that same this year. They're over 150 already this year. At the height of when the market was super easy, when you basically go out on the front lawn and say, hey, I've got a home for sale, and you'd have three offers. You know, they were selling over 200 at that point, but with the market that's more of a challenge, they still know how to get it done. And that's one of the things is, you know, because the market has shifted, not just because of prices and interest rates and people inflation and all that kind of stuff, but just in general, the market has shifted with insurance, how that has changed because of all the storms and companies basically leaving Florida or putting higher demands on it. And just, you know, when there's a pickier buyer environment, you know, you see more houses sitting for a little bit longer. You've got to really know how to stage it, photograph it, list it, price it, all that kind of stuff. And she does. And they do. That's why they get so many homes sold, about 3.5 every single week. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty.
Harris Faulkner is coming to Pensacola. Join Marcus Point Baptist Church for the Spirit of Christmas, featuring Fox News host and author Harris Faulkner. There will be incredible music and life-changing moments at every campus. We will have fun kids programs and prizes, as well as a free meal for everyone. Join on December 8th at 10 a.m. at any of our locations in Pensacola, Beulah, Molino, or North Pace. The Spirit of Christmas, December 8th at Marcus Point Baptist Church, featuring Harris Faulkner.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Donkey.
I'm here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Tuesday to you. Still cold. 39. Ugh. I don't even know what to do with that. That's not right. Every once in a while, we get a little bit of the taste of the weather that most people in the north spend all year, or well, all winter enjoying. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, Andrew, it's so cold this morning, I had ice on my windshield when I got in the car. I threw my ice scraper away
seriously?
When I left Iowa.
You had frost on your windshield? Oh, wow. Yikes.
It was bad. I thought I left all that behind. a Delaware judge has prevented Elon Musk from getting his $56 billion pay package. Chancellor Kathleen McCormick on Monday upheld her prior ruling from January. Musk called the ruling absolute corruption. Andrew, I've been looking into this Enron story we talked about
here a little bit ago.
All right, so the new website is up at Enron.com. It's a very corporate-looking website. It's very well done. It has everything you'd expect from a corporate website, features a company store, an employee web portal, employee testimonials, job openings. There's even a very well-produced one-minute video.
Really?
I am Enron.
I am Enron.
I am Enron.
And look, the whole time it's doing this giant pan upwards, and there's like 100 people.
Of the giant sculpture they had out front, the three-dimensional
right,
E or whatever.
Yes, yeah. the big E, and it's all these people in that shape, and very well done video. So I've been digging into this corporate comeback a little bit. Here's what I found. The Enron likeness and trademarks were purchased by a company called TLDR. It's a t-shirt company, and it's owned by the same person behind the birds aren't real conspiracy theory.
Oh, nice. I love that Facebook page. The website, guy's great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the website was launched yesterday, which was the 23rd anniversary of the Enron scandal.
Okay, see, when you first said it and I had my reaction.
So if you want to go work with Enron.
Come on. It's not April 1st. Come on. Enron has been around?
Apparently. I don't.
Stop it. I press X to doubt. I said no, right?
I said satire.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know what tipped me off a little bit? I realized after the fact, the anniversary date. If they were them, they would not have done it that way. You don't file this comeback on the anniversary of your biggest
local
failure.
Talk in the morning.